VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us for another week here on Crosstalk on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, there was a phrase I heard growing up when you heard something that kind of came as a surprise or a shock or sometimes an anger or disgust. It was a phrase, "What in the world?" Sometimes when something was just done by a child, the parent would ask, "What in the world were you thinking?" So I've named today's program, "What in the World?" because there are a number of matters that are going on that justify common sense, or should I say, common moral sense. And we're going to be discussing a number of issues here today. I'm going to be as discreet as I can on some of the stories. If you do have young children, you may want to occupy them with some other activity at this point, because we're going to, some of the stories are truly head shakers, and some of them are going into areas that young people are being targeted in many different ways. So we're going to get into some of those issues, but I'd like to begin in the state of California. The state of California, where the government has mandated the shutdown of churches, and ladies and gentlemen, they're encouraging protest. Just a couple of hours ago, we received from Matt Staver at Liberty Council this press release. Last Friday afternoon, Harvest Rock Church and Harvest International Ministry filed an emergency motion for injunction pending appeal to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals regarding Governor Gavin Newsom's unconstitutional orders. Within 45 minutes, the court ordered Governor Newsom to respond tomorrow by 5 p.m. Pacific and the church to reply by 5 p.m. Wednesday. The governor's orders prohibit all worship, including home Bible studies and fellowship with anyone who does not live in the home. Yet Governor Newsom continues to encourage mass gatherings of protesters throughout the state. And to that I say, what in the world? On August 13th, a Pasadena assistant prosecutor in the criminal division sent Harvest Rock Church and the pastor Shi An a letter demanding that all in-person worship services cease. The letter threatens daily criminal charges and fines to Pastor An, the church, staff, and parishioners. The letter states that each criminal charge is punishable by up to 1 year in prison. Again, I say, what in the world? You're a state that has released prisoners due to COVID, and now you're threatening to put people in because they're not responding, they're not shutting down their churches? The lawsuit challenges both the local or the total ban on in-person worship, including in private homes in the counties on the county monitoring list, and the ban on singing in the remaining counties. In addition to in-person worship at Harvest Rock Church, the church also has many life groups, which are home Bible studies and fellowship groups. These two are prohibited under Governor Newsom's July 6th and July 13th orders. Yet while he discriminates against churches, home Bible studies, fellowship meetings, the governor continues to encourage thousands of protesters to gather throughout the state. Like Governor Newsom, Pasadena has allowed hundreds and thousands of protesters. Neither the Pasadena Public Health Department nor the Pasadena prosecutor have attempted to stop the protest, in which people are crowded together, many of them not wearing masks. In Newsom's response to the motion for the temporary restraining order and preliminary injunction, he argues that churches are not essential. What in the world? Concerning home Bible studies, he argues that he has authority to prohibit home fellowship groups. As to protest, he publicly encourages them, saying, "God bless you, keep doing it." Folks, he's given God's blessing upon protest, but not upon church. Matt Staver from Liberty Council said Governor Newsom has not and cannot state why masses of thousands of protesters are less dangerous to public health than a responsibly distanced and sanitized worship service. In the landmark 1947 case, the Supreme Court has stated that under the First Amendment, the state cannot prohibit people from attending church against their will. Yet that is what Governor Newsom has done. This is not the only church. Many of you are familiar with Pastor John MacArthur and Grace Community Church. They defied a court order that directed them to refrain from holding indoor services amid COVID-19. The pastor argued that following the county's stringent guidelines, that they would completely shut the church down. On Sunday, yesterday, Grace Community held a packed morning service just days after Los Angeles County Superior Court judge granted a county's request for an injunction prohibiting the Sun Valley-based church from holding indoor services in violation of county health orders. MacArthur began the service by outlining why Grace Church does not just comply with the orders that have been laid down for churches. He received a thunderous ovation as he approached the pulpit. After that ovation, this is how he began yesterday's service.
Are you happy to be at church? Okay. Before we begin, the question has come up a number of times about why Grace Church does not just comply with the orders that have been laid down for churches. And I thought it might be helpful to give you the list of things that are required of us as a church so that you understand how utterly impossible that would be.
Listen to this list, folks.
Here are the basic orders. No indoor meetings at all. Pre-registration of every person who comes onto church property. People only allowed on church property for scheduled events. Every person who comes on the property is to be screened and have their temperature taken at the entry. We all must maintain 6 feet of social distance at all times everywhere, including the parking lot and the restrooms. Every other parking space must be left vacant. Marked pathways to maintain social distance, keeping people apart, monitored by staff monitors. Everyone always wearing a mask. Restroom monitors to control 6 feet social distancing at restrooms. Tape on the ground marking distance. Signs indicating these mandates and also full exposure on social media. Restrooms are to be used during the service to minimize the rush. That would be interesting. No hymn books, no communion, no offering containers, no pew Bibles, no singing, no hugging, no shaking hands. Disposable seat covers changed between services. And the services have to be shortened. That's not a problem to me, right? And based upon the separation, we could only meet in the tent with a maximum of 350 to 400 people. You can see that these are the requirements that would completely shut the church down. Anybody who comes in contact with someone outside their family for more than 15 minutes must self-quarantine for 2 weeks. Obviously, this is not constitutional, but more importantly, it goes against the will of the Lord of the church. He calls us to gather. Amen. So look at the person next to you and say, I don't know who you are, but I'm so glad I'm sitting next to you.
So, folks, did you hear those guidelines? And I say again, what in the world? Dr. MacArthur went on to say this. He said, nations are obligated to worship the true God. Did you hear what I just said? They're obligated to worship the true God, and there are dire circumstances that will come upon them if they fail to do that. This is not an option. That is a divine command. He argued that when any government separates from God and his law and scripture and from his people and his church, it invites judgment on a personal scale and a national scale. saying, quote, it's unavoidable because God is immutable. He doesn't change. When the government thinks its only responsibility is for physical, material, social, temporal needs and ignores the spiritual reality of the true God and people's spiritual needs, when a nation becomes indifferent to the true God and his word and his law, it makes a grave mistake, which, if not reversed, will lead that nation to its own destruction. He said the notion of a secular state is a lie. Government is ordained by God. Well, following that ruling last Thursday, Thomas More Society Special Counsel Jenna Ellis said attorneys will continue to fight for Pastor MacArthur and Grace Community Church's constitutionally protected right to hold church. While the judge did go out of his way to repeatedly state that he's not ruling on the merits, only a ruling at this very preliminary stage, Pastor MacArthur is still harmed because he has every right to hold church, Ellis contended. Church is essential, and no government agent has the runaway, unlimited power to force churches to close indefinitely. The county's argument was basically because we can, which is the very definition of tyranny. Without limiting government's power in favor of freedom and protected rights, we have no liberty. We will fight for religious liberty as our founders did when they wrote the First Amendment. And then a further statement that was made by Jenna Ellis, who is special counsel to the Thomas More Society. She said this: Los Angeles County is retaliating against Grace Community Church for simply exercising their constitutionally protected right to hold church and challenging an unreasonable, unlawful health order. In America, we have a judicial system to ensure that the executive branch does not abuse its power, and Grace Community Church has every right to be heard without fear of reprisal. The Democrats' message to America is clear. If you don't bow to every whim of tyranny, the government will come after you. The church has peacefully held this lease for 45 years. This is after the church lease. They were given 30-day notice to the city breaking that lease with Grace Community Church. They said the church has peacefully held this lease for 45 years, and only reason the county is attempting eviction is because John MacArthur stood up to their unconstitutional power grab. This is harassment, abusive, and unconscionable. Also, we have here from CBN News. The order prohibits church from conducting, participating, or attending any indoor worship service, also bans outdoor worship unless onerous restrictions are followed in a heavy-handed move against the internationally known preacher and its congregation. CBN reported MacArthur and Grace Community Church are suing the county and the state of California for attempting to shut down their worship under COVID orders that arguably violate the state's constitution. And they go on to say the lawsuit pointed to the double standard that there has been applied to Black Lives Matter protesters who've been allowed and even encouraged to flood the streets by the thousands, while churches have been forced to keep their sanctuaries closed over concerned worship services could cause spikes in coronavirus infections. Again, I say, what in the world? Folks, another what in the world story came out last Friday at the Western Journal Journalism, and it's Dr. Anthony Fauci. He said Friday that Americans should not expect to return to a pre-coronavirus pandemic level of normalty until potentially late next year. He said if you're talking about getting back to a degree of normality, which resembles where we were prior to COVID, it's going to be well into 2021, maybe even toward the end of 2021, Fauci added. According to the CDC, friends, I just want to remind you, only 6% of deaths have COVID-19 as the only cause mentioned, revealing that 94% of patients who died from coronavirus also had other health conditions and contributing causes. We covered that more in depth previous on Crosstalk, but to all of this, I say, what in the world? What are we doing here, folks? We're going to have some more stories after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, can you use ordinary things as a witness for creation?
You certainly can, Chris. In fact, you can use an automobile or an airplane or a radio station or most design systems to witness to the design in creation. If a radio station needs a designer, then certainly things much more complicated, like life, need a designer. If you know anything about geology, you can use the road cuts through mountains to witness the Noah's flood. You can see the strata, obviously laid down by moving water, and point out that these strata typically go for miles in every direction, maybe thousands of miles, speaking eloquently of widespread deposition due to water action. Yes, indeed, Chris. Creation and the flood are clearly seen from evidence all around us, and we can use them to witness to that back to Genesis truth.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and we're going to be entering into some of those stories. Again, if you have young ears nearby, we'd suggest you have them occupied in other activities here, because some of these things are rather unbelievable as to what is taking place, but they are certainly taking place, and we can only say, what in the world? That's our topic here today on Crosstalk, and the story coming from Breitbart, a very disturbing story about Burger King, has launched a new advertising campaign in Finland featuring its mascot, you know, that king wearing the Burger King crown, but sharing a deep kiss, a passionate kiss, with Ronald McDonald, along with the English slogan, Love Conquers All. The campaign appears to be in aid of Helsinki Pride Week, which was moved to September from its usual slot due to the Chinese coronavirus pandemic. It also appears to have been influenced by the race politics of the Black Lives Matter movement, featuring the new version of the Pride flag topped with a black and brown stripe. And the activist mommy as well pointed out that countless corporations have cashed in on the LGBT plus wave and woke culture, but Burger King has kicked the pandering game up several notches with a new ad campaign featuring its mascot locked in a passionate kiss with Ronald McDonald. In an image visible on the chain's website for its operations in Finland, the king pulls in the mascot of the chain's top competitor for a homosexual kiss. Burger King has always stood for equality, love, and everyone's right to be just the way they are, said Burger King Finland's brand manager, Kesa Kasila, said in a statement to Media Post. And so you have the image of the Burger King logo, their champion, their king with the crown on, giving that passionate kiss on the lips to Ronald McDonald. And to that I say, what in the world? Another example this past weekend. We had warned you previously on Crosstalk about a Senate Bill 145 that was passed by the California legislature that exempts from mandatory registration under the Act, a person convicted of certain offenses involving minors if the person is not more than 10 years older than the minor and if that offense is only one requiring the person to register. This is Senate Bill 145. And we had reported, here we have from Western Journal, Democrats are bringing our society even closer to normalizing pedophilia by giving sexual agency to young people. Senate Bill 145 significantly weakens state laws designed to protect minors from sexual abuse at the hands of adults. Instead of enhancing protections for victims of heterosexual predators, SB 145 diminishes protections for victims of homosexual predators by making it possible for them to avoid felony charges and the sex offender registry as long as the offender is within 10 years of age of the victim. A 24-year-old predator, for instance, could theoretically receive leniency for sexual crimes committed against a 15-year-old. Compounding the problem, SB 145 comes on the heels of the so-called California Healthy Youth Act, which mandates sexual education for K-12 students designed to teach them healthy attitudes concerning adolescent growth and development, body image, gender, sexual orientation, relationships, marriage, and family. They say the K and K through 12, it should be stressed, stands for kindergarten. And yet this is mandatory education going out through the state of California. And now they have weakened the pedophilia law that if the perpetrator is less than 10 years older than their victim, that there's provision being made for them to avoid even appearing on the sexual registration list. Again, I say, what in the world? And now we have Merriam-Webster's dictionary officially updating its definition of female to now include having a gender identity that is opposite of male. You see, we're changing the dictionary definitions once again. And so we are now having this added, having a gender identity that is opposite of male. Well, friends, no matter what Merriam-Webster does or whatever dictionary decides to have their definitions out there, the Bible still says that God created man in his own image. Male and female created he them. And it is not having a gender identity that is opposite of male. Let's move on to another what in the world story. Coming to us from CBN, beginning this month, all schools in England required to teach an LGBTQ inclusive curriculum. High schools will educate students on sexual orientation, gender identity, and healthy relationships, while primary schools will teach children about different families, including LGBTQ members. Let's go to the activist mommy here. As a former abortionist who staunchly advocates for legalizing prostitution, even among teens, has been tapped as one of the United Nations' top health and human rights experts. What in the world? According to the Center for Family and Human Rights, Dr. Talang Mofokeng is the author of Dr. T, A Guide to Sexual Health and Pleasure, and host of a South African television show, Sex Talk with Dr. T, and was appointed a special reporter to the UN over the summer. This individual sparked sharp criticism from human trafficking survivors for an op-ed that she penned for Teen Vogue that encouraged young girls to consider sex work, saying her articles entail why sex work is real work. And now she is being tapped to be one of the United Nations' top health and human rights experts. Again, I ask the question, what in the world? But folks, that's not just happening overseas. I mean, there's crazy things happening, and I'm going to come close to home in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Eau Claire hosts something, has a business there called the Eau Claire Children's Theater. The Eau Claire Children's Theater. And it was shocking to learn that they're holding a drag queen program there this coming week. Friday and Saturday. It's called Drag Queens and Desserts. Again, this is the Eau Claire, Wisconsin's Children's Theater. They state this. Drag Queens and Desserts returns for an evening of drag performers and delicious desserts with a cash bar available. A different lineup of performers each night, hosted by Monica Bluebell Friday night and a lot of shots on Saturday night for this 18-plus event. Yeah, they're keeping children out of the children's theater for this event. And they're having this drag queen and dessert event on not only Friday night, but Saturday night as well. When you go to their website, they say, thanks to our sponsors, to the Eau Claire Children's Theater. You'll find there a number of institutions. I'm guessing many of them do not know what is going on, but are just becoming sponsors of the Eau Claire Children's Theater. I mean, you're going to go there and you're going to find a number of banks. There's Security Financial Bank, Northwest Bank, Wells Fargo, Charter Bank, Charter Communications. There's also Christo Orthodontics, the Lake Wissota Family Chiropractic, the Royal Credit Union, their Shields, Smiles and Motion Pediatric Dentistry, and they're sponsoring this garbage. That's my opinion. Drag Queens and Desserts 2020. Friends, I'm going to go back and play a clip from a drag queen that gave public testimony back in September of, I believe it was September 17th of 2018. This is a drag queen by the name of Dylan Pontiff. And you'll find what their motive is here, because he talks about grooming children.
Hi, my name is Dylan Pontiff. I'm actually going to be one of the drag queens reading for Drag Queen Storytime. So apparently to a lot of people in this room, I'm the big boogeyman. And as you can see, I'm probably the most unintimidating person you've ever seen in your entire life. I decided to do this event whenever it was introduced because I have nieces and nephews that I love very much, and I am a person that has been through a lot in their lives. I've been bullied most of my life for being a gay male, being not necessarily what the typical man is. And I thought that this event could be something that shows people and shows children, especially at that age, that understanding that people are different than you doesn't necessarily make them unnormal or makes them not good. And I think that what's truly sad is that once I was announced as the person reading, the amount of hate that I received because of this resolution that is been presented to this board, I was being called an it. I've been called disgusting. And I don't think any of these people know me well enough to say any of those things. But I think that the true misunderstanding of what this event is supposed to be and what me dressing up in drag for it is going to be. I am not there to push any kind of agenda. I was told at the library council meeting last night that I'm pushing the trans agenda. I'm pushing an overly sexualized agenda. And that is furthest from the truth. I am just as talented as a singer or a dancer or anyone that has a special talent. It just mine is dressing up as a woman and entertaining a crowd. Now, everywhere you can go, you can see that people can change their views for certain audiences. Just as much as someone can be an actor and be in an actor movie for a rated R movie and they can go around and be in a G-rated movie, I can go and entertain an adult in a club, but also entertain a group of students and young children. I'm able to do that because I'm an adult and I know how to filter myself. And I just think that it is implorable of some of the opinions that I've seen and some of the looks I received here tonight. The eyes that people give you whenever they think that you are the one that's in support of this event is truly disgusting. And I am not here to obviously change anyone's views about me. But I'm here to let you know that this event is something that's going to be very beautiful. And for the children and the people that support it are going to realize that this is going to be the grooming of the next generation. We are trying to groom the next generation to not see the way that they just did. And just because I said that, you heard the little plore of people behind me. It's disgusting. We are trying to teach people to be tolerable, to be patient, to be loving. And the fact of the matter is that I'm standing right here and there's probably 50 people behind me looking at me with daggers, wishing that I would probably die in a car wreck whenever I leave here. It's truly implorable. And that is what we're trying to do with Drag Queen Storytime. We're trying to raise people to be loving and caring individuals. And I really hope that this event is going to do that for not only just the children at this event, but children in the future. Thank you.
Well, you know, again, I say, what in the world? So here we talk about an individual talking about it's the people behind him were disgusting in their comments regarding him. You know, he said we're teaching how to be loving and tolerant. He was not tolerant. He was not loving toward those people that were opposing to his plan to groom children. And friends, this is what's happening within libraries across this nation, the grooming of children. Now, the drag queen program at Eau Claire Children's Theater, the individual's clip I just played is not part of this, but I want you to understand this mindset that is behind the drag queen story hours, etc. But what's going on in Eau Claire happens to be a drag queen program entitled Drag Queens and Desserts at a children's theater, but they say it's only for 18 plus. Now, before I move on, I can't help but give a phone number to this children's theater. And those of you in the Eau Claire, Wisconsin area that are listening to this program today, did you know this was going on? And have you voiced your concern to the Eau Claire Children's Theater? Now, be kind and loving, but be bold and stand up for morality in this regard. The number to the children's theater is 715-839-8877, 715-839-8877. Now, I am confident that these kinds of things are happening in libraries across the nation as they have been. And again, I say, what in the world? What are we doing in this world? Why are we allowing these things to take place when he talks about this individual talked about the grooming of children? We'll be back in just 1 minute. I've got a few more stories I want to share with you today on Crosstalk here on the VCY America Network.
Increasingly, we are hearing a rallying cry for socialism in our society. Free healthcare, free education, free food, free everything. Some are fanning the flames by encouraging mobs to change our government, our constitution, and our way of life. Do we really want to go the way of Russia? Of communist China? Cuba? Venezuela? Is socialism a wonderful utopia? Or is it a totalitarian nightmare? Will everything be free? Or will deep state bureaucrats decide who gets what? These are critical issues presented in the book, Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present. Author Bill Federer tracks the origins of socialism and reveals how the deep state capitalizes on crises to consolidate control. The book, Socialism, is available from VCY for your donation of $18 or more when you call 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. If you've just joined us, as I mentioned at the outset of the program, there's a phrase I heard growing up that when you heard something that came as a surprise, a shock, or sometimes in anger or disgust, it was a phrase, what in the world? You know, as parents, is what in the world were you thinking? Well, folks, I've got many of those what in the world kind of stories here today on Crosstalk just within recent days. One of the stories, too, about Disney is doing this Mulan movie, and they're doing it in China. You think about the human rights abuses going on in China, but guess what? They're threatening to boycott Georgia because Georgia takes a stand for life. Georgia's taking a stand for life, but yet they have no problem going into China. Going into China where there is human rights abuses left and right, and not to mention the number of Christians that are being persecuted for their faith, no problem there. But it's difficult for them to do business in Georgia because, they've got a law there banning abortion if a doctor can detect a fetal heartbeat. Again, I say, what in the world? We've got this... the sexualizing, matter of fact, the hyper-sexualizing of children going on today. I'm not going to go into the details. Many of you are familiar with the Netflix cuties, the controversy, I should say, regarding that issue, this hyper-sexualizing of girls. And the liberal media is just coming out, as LifeNews.com has a story, just defending cuties, saying critics of Netflix show are just afraid of child sexuality. Here's another story that came out from CBN. A Christian pastor in the United Kingdom told by the local police that if he offends the LGBT community with a social media comment, he could be breaking the law, even though a pro-LGBT mob threatened to burn down his church. Christian Concern, a UK persecution watchdog, reports Pastor Josh Williamson of Newquay Baptist Church was warned by police to keep his views in a safe environment after being targeted by a wave of anti-Christian abuse, including threats of violence and calls for his church to be burnt down. Last week, he replied to a post on a local news outlet's Facebook page that reported this year's Cornwall Pride event would be canceled. He simply wrote, "Wonderful news," under the post. When he was questioned about his comment and by another user, he replied, "Because I don't think sin should be celebrated." Well, Cornwall Pride organizers say his personal page took a screenshot of the post and then tagged Newquay Baptist Church and posted along with negative comments made by other users about gay pride. Then they blocked out the names on each comment, making it appear that all the comments were posted by the pastor. Sounds like gaslighting we heard about from Pastor Brown last week. Well, the pastor's wife also received online threats, and his head was superimposed onto an image of homosexual pornography that was then shared online. The LGBT group then called on their supporters to report the pastor to the police for a hate speech crime. Activists also made several threats, including protesting at the Newquay Church's Sunday services, having the church's charity status revoked by the government, as well as threatening to have Williamson deported back to his native Australia. A post for one LGBT group called for Newquay Baptist Church, which often houses families, to be burnt down. Another user agreed, responding, "Let's burn a church. Let's burn a church." Williamson reported the threats to the police, who've been sponsors of the gay organization in the past. He was told that the situation was complex and that they did not believe anyone with the group would act on their threats. And then the police said they were working on with both sides to pacify the situation, but told Williamson, the pastor, that he should make sure not to offend anyone in the LGBT community in the future to avoid breaking the law. That, according to Christian Concern. What in the world? Here he has his church threatened to be burned down. We have his wife receiving phone calls. He himself is a victim. Online threats going on against him and then superimposing him onto homosexual pornography. And after the complaints of burning down the church, he reports it to the police, who said, well, we don't really believe they'll act on those threats, but you be careful about what you post. What in the world? Friends, I can't go into detail on this particular story, but it's coming from the City of Milwaukee Health Department. The City of Milwaukee Health Department. They have the COVID-19 coronavirus. They've got a two-page handout, about a sheet and a half, on what they call sex guidance. Sex guidance. It goes into far more detail than I would go on the air, but I'm going to read about two sentences. Here is one. If you usually meet your sex partners online or make a living by having sex, consider taking a break from in-person dates. Not that thou shalt not, like, you know, we've been told churches you shall not, and all this social distancing and guidelines, etc. Consider taking a break from in-person dates. Video dates, sexting, or chat rooms may be options for you. Again, I say, what in the world? Here we're telling people to get engaged in sexting? And then tells them later to disinfect keyboards and touchscreens that you share with others for video chat or watching pornography or for anything else? Again, folks, I've touched on the milder, the gentler parts of this sex guidance that's coming out from the City of Milwaukee Health Department. And to that I say, what in the world? We also have, coming from WND.com and SarahCarter.com, and I've seen on numerous websites that on September 17th, the 9th anniversary of Occupy Wall Street, that protesters planning to begin a siege of the White House that will last 50 days, right up until November 3rd. Website for the event is planning to bring thousands of protesters into Lafayette Square to lay siege to the White House, warning that the possibility of a civil war breaking out sometime next year is no joke. Now, friends, whether people are spoofing on this or not, we do see that Adbusters has issued a call for protesters to descend upon Lafayette Square, saying, we will lay siege to the White House. Nonviolent protests with a sea of raised fists outside the White House, and will sustain it for exactly 50 days, taking us up to the election. What in the world? Just two more stories here, and then we'll open phone lines for your comments. Another tragedy. As two Los Angeles deputies were shot in an ambush. The Los Angeles sheriff's deputies, a male and a female deputy, sitting in their patrol car at the MTA Blue Line Terminal in Compton, when without any provocation, a gunman came up and opened fire before fleeing, reports WMAR2 News. Both deputies were struck several times, rushed to St. Francis Medical Center in Linwood, California. Caught the attention of the president, who asked for prayers and tweeted out, if they die, fast trial death penalty for the killer. Only way to stop this, he sent out. But as Newsbusters.org pointed out, overnight, two Los Angeles County sheriff's deputies were hospitalized and fighting for their lives after a man walked up to their cruiser, opened fire in an ambush-style attack. The deputies rushed to the hospital, and a crowd of Black Lives Matter extremists swarmed the emergency room entrance, blocking admittance while they chanted, death to police, death to police, and we hope they die. Think about that, folks. The barbarism of society that we see today, it's barbaric. Come Sunday morning, ABC's Good Morning America noted the shooting, but they didn't tell the public about these extremist out there, the crowd of Black Lives Matter extremists swarming the entrance. One of the deputies was a 31-year-old mother of a 6-year-old. There was also a 24-year-old man. Both were sworn in 14 months ago. But never did they talk about these protesters. Matter of fact, the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department said to the protesters, they tweeted out, to the protesters blocking the entrance and exit of the hospital emergency room yelling, we hope they die, referring to the two L.A. sheriffs ambushed today, do not block emergency exits entries and exits to the hospital. People's lives are at stake when ambulances can't get through. These individuals were shot, ambushed, ambush style attack. And as they're rushed to the hospital, to have people trying to block the entrances and protesters standing outside the hospital chanting death to police. What in the world? And one of the people arrested in this was a reporter, evidently with National Public Radio. An NPR-affiliated station, KPCC, in Los Angeles sent a reporter to the hospital where the leftist mob was blocking the entrance to the emergency room. And according to the sheriff's department, the reporter interfered with deputies who were arresting a man that refused to disperse from the entrance of the hospital. Don't have time to go into that story because I want one more story to share with you before we open the phone lines. And those of you in the Lubbock, Texas area, you need to hear this. This is from lifenews.com. A Texas mayor, under pressure to help stop a new Planned Parenthood from opening in a city, recently compared the abortion business to starting a church. The Federalist reports that Lubbock Mayor Dan Pope hesitated to support a proposed sanctuary for the unborn ordinance, even though he says he is pro-life. State lawmakers and hundreds of local residents have been urging the city to pass the pro-life ordinance, which would outlaw abortion within the city limits. Their calls have been growing ever since the abortion chain announced plans to open a new facility in the city later this year. In an interview Thursday on the Chad Hasty Show, Pope said he does not think the city should be telling businesses what to do. Telling Planned Parenthood that they can't come to Lubbock would be in some ways like telling United that they couldn't build another store, or telling the Southern Baptist Convention they couldn't do another church start in Lubbock, Pope said. The mayor said he is pro-life, but he refused to commit to supporting the pro-life ordinance, according to the report. Saying, quote, I need to see the ordinance in its final form. I can't say that I would vote for the ordinance until I saw it, he said. Pope said city leaders should focus on the things that we're elected to do, such as taking care of city parks and streets and providing police and fire services. Isn't that something? Where we have the cry of the unborn crying out from the abortion center that's being killed and ripped apart in the mother's womb, the mayor says, well, we should do things we're elected to do. Let's take care of the city parks. Let's take care of the streets. Let's provide the police and fire services. Lubbock has not had an abortion facility since 2013 when a former Planned Parenthood closed because it could not comply with the state pro-life law. The U.S. Supreme Court later overturned that law. Now the abortion chain is planning to return. On its website, Planned Parenthood said it plans to open its new facility in Lubbock later this year. Again, folks, I ask the question, what in the world? No, we don't want to say we don't want abortions taking place in our city. I mean, after all, we've got the parks to upkeep. I know I talked longer today, but friends, I'm stirred. I'm stirred in spirit today. And I'd like to hear what you have to say. Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. And as we see this litany of stories just from recent days as to what is taking place in cities across this nation and places around the world, folks, we can't accept these things as just being normal. We can't just accept this as being, this is the way it is. I think we need to start asking some questions. And times when we need to stand up and say, I object. I'd like to hear what you have to say on it today. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. You see our lines are lighting up. We'll get to your calls right after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. America is headed toward a color revolution. What is a color revolution? A color revolution is often carried out in countries to remove a leader who is deemed to be, illegitimate. He's often described as an authoritarian, a fascist, a dictator, a criminal, a racist. The color revolutions have often been carried out, even with the support of our Central Intelligence Agency, in other countries. I contend, and do many others, that a color revolution is now being laid here in America. And a big part of a color revolution is a political warfare agenda. And another word for political warfare is brainwashing, psychological information, propaganda, lies. You're hearing it now. You're hearing the lies being laid down about this election and about President Trump. Do your homework. Understand, the narrative is being laid for a color revolution.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Our topic today is the question, what in the world? We're taking your phone calls, and we'll go right to the lines here. Let's begin in Arizona, Maricopa. Arizona, Manny is calling. You're on the air, Manny.
Hey, how's it going? So this is the greatest push to globalism, to, you know, one world order. They've tried it before, but now that they have the masses that will vote in the system, they don't even have to take it by force. And as for us Christians, we really need to prepare ourselves for, you know, persecution, whatever is coming. When November will be a time like no other, and I believe that'll be the start of everything declining.
Okay, thank you, Manny, for your comment. Let's go to John and Delavan. You're on the air, John. John, you're on
the air. Hi, Jim, are you there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Jim, just wanted to say, I mean, for everybody who doesn't know already, we're in the communist revolution. It's taking place in our corporate 500 companies, taking place in our education for our children. You're in the midst of it, and if you think November 3rd is going to solve this problem, people are sorely mistaken, because you got to be aware and you got to be vigilant to what's taking place. We're in the middle of the revolution right now, and that's my comment.
Okay. Thank you, John, for your thoughts. Dave in West Dallas, you're on the air.
Yeah, James. To everything, turn, a time for peace and a time for war. I think it would be highly logical for those of us to pick up arms.
Dave, I'm not going to have you go there at this point, because this is not a flesh and blood war we're talking about, Dave. This is very much a spiritual battle between that which is good and that which is evil, between that which is moral and that which is immoral. This is not a matter of taking up arms in that regard. What we do need to do is to certainly to take up prayer. We need to take up the Word of God. We need to sow the seed of Word of God. That's what will change people's hearts. And I think that's critically important here, Dave.
Well, I'm going to defend myself, James. That's all I can say. Thank you.
Okay. I am not talking about self-defense. I was not speaking against that at all. But when we talk about the things that are going on in this world, and your first response is to take up arms, need us to understand that this is very much a spiritual battle, not a flesh and blood war that's going on. Jody is next in Kenosha, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Jody.
Yes, this morning I heard a what in the world take. Here our children and our grandchildren were not allowed to go to camps or Bible camps or play baseball or any of these summer activities. And I heard on the news that they're already planning for Halloween, that, you know, letting the children go out for Halloween. And they actually said, when they were talking about kids receiving candy that was in pre-wrapped things, that surface contact of this COVID is very rare. So why can't we go to the church? Why can't we use our hymnals?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I hear Halloween, oh, that's okay. But we can't dare let our kids play baseball together or go to camp. But they said that surface contact is very rare.
Jody, thank you for your comment here today. I'm going quickly because I've given short time here in the calls. Alan, Bridgeport, West Virginia, you're on the air.
Hey, Jim, thanks always for taking my call. You know, it's we've been having a civil war. It's for the minds of our youth, and we're losing right now. And it's been several years now. We've talked about this and the exploitation of these young children. You know, in many different ways, it's just disgusting. And you know, the evils at bay understand what the future is. The future's the kids. That's what they're after. They're after to change their minds, get them away from God, and get them away from Jesus. And, brother, we've got to win them back. We just have to. We just got to keep prayer. We need not take arms, alms.
Yeah. Thank you, Al. Steve in Sarasota, Florida, you're on the air.
Sir, thank you for taking my call. I called today about a news thing that I saw on Facebook. I can't verify it, but supposedly this gentleman, he's a transsexual that's running for sheriff's department in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
And he's also an admitted Satanist.
Yeah. Matter of fact, it does take you back. And here's a story from Fox News. I'll just give you the first sentence of the story. A self-described transsexual Satanist anarchist has won the Republican nomination for the sheriff's job in Cheshire County, New Hampshire, a victory she says proves the system is utterly and hopelessly broken.
Sometimes I wake up in the morning and I think, now my nightmare is starting. I really want to go back to sleep.
Wow.
It's just, it's amazing what's happened. But I just want to say on a fundamental level, powers and principalities, we're talking about creation versus, Darwinism or survival of the fittest.
Steve, thank you so much for the comment here today. Let's go to Alice in Arkansas. You're on the air, Alice.
Thank you. The Bible said man's heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God knows it. That's why Jesus came and he said he must be born again. May everybody that names the name of Christ really examine their hearts, because they all must endure unto the end. And the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Indeed.
Only Christ's righteousness in the heart can help us. God help America.
Amen. Thank you, Alice. We got a caller, anonymous caller. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, I'm calling in regards to the transgender at the child theater in Eau Claire. Me being a female, you know, I couldn't. Listening to Dylan speak, and I, we just went through taking away Aunt Jemima, and Painted Faces of Black has been banned for years and years. You know, I as a woman, I object. I object to men dressing up as women, and sometimes very gaudy.
Yes.
I feel like, why are you degrading me?
Thank you for that. And that closing music says I'm out of time for the program. Thank you for your call here today. Friends, much going on, and I would encourage you to go to Ephesians chapter 6 to stand, to put on the armor of God, to recognize again this is not flesh and blood, but prince against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Take the word of God. Let's pray. Let's stand. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.